Radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
Live from New York, talking real money. Hello, I'm Don McDonald.
And you...
And we're something very important.
Yes.
What are we here to do, Tom?
We are here to celebrate your birthday.
No, that's not it.
Oh, that wasn't
that was
it. Okay.
It.
Well, it is your birthday.
No. Yeah, I know.
Well, and they were talking, I mean, the intro said something about talking about a bright future, as short as it may be for both of us.
Yeah. There reaches a point.
All right. I'm just saying.
There reaches a point where the celebrations just need to end.
What? They've barely begun. I see your family. Family circling around you there. I don't know. I got my family circling around me here.
My daughter came and peeked into the FaceTime video. See, Tom and I, he can see me here in New York. Yeah. I can see him in the studio in Seattle. I also see his daughter. Yeah. So my daughter wandered in. His daughter sitting there under headphones.
It's family
a family affair.
There you go. Yeah.
Live from two coasts of this great country known as America.
And the, no, okay. So the reality, we're trying to help you.
We are.
Yeah.
That's the goal of this one of the few financially oriented talk radio programs on the air that is actually created to teach you something, not sell you something. We want to teach you how to build wealth for one really critical purpose. A critical purpose that, let me tell you, when I was your daughter's age or my daughter's age, I just didn't think I'd be this close to retirement.
If I knew how... No, never mind. Okay.
Yeah.
Knew I'd feel at this age, I never would have made it. Got it.
I'd look at people my age and I'd go, they're next to dead. I'll be gone by then.
Who cares? Right.
I'm still here and, you know, I'm going to need a little money one of these days and so will you. And you have to do certain things to make sure that happens. And some of those things are save. We're going to talk about that today. Some of those things are investing your savings and doing it wisely. Doing it wisely. You see, you can't just invest it because there are a lot of scoundrels and scurrious folk out there looking to make a lot of money on your money. And we have a fascinating example based on one of our previous programs.
Yeah, it's sad. It's true.
And, and then we have a few other little things that we'd like to share. But the primary goal of this here show is helping you solve your personal problems, the things that come up in your life, the investment decisions that you have to make, your 401k, your 403b, your IRA, your investment portfolio, the insurance issues you face, all of those things. So that's why if you call us on Saturdays, we will defer to you. We want to talk about your issues. That number is 877-397-5666. That's 877-397-5666. And if you're one of our many podcast listeners, just remember, no matter when you listen to the podcast, to call us on a Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern here in New York, or 12 noon over there in Seattle.
And where are we on the whole podcast popularity thing? I lost track of all that when the vote came
from some far Asian land.
Yes. Yeah. I see your lips moving,
Amazon
but I don't
income.
Hear you. Yeah, go ahead. Yes, the podcast.
I was thinking about doing the update on passive Amazon income, but I got to go check ours.
All right, we can do that.
I think we're like the 160th most popular investing podcast now.
Okay.
160th. That's not where I'd like to be.
Where do you want to be?
You know, it's been one.
Okay. Yeah, well, we're not offering passive income from Amazon, so that's why.
Well, no, actually, they're not really number one. They're just number one because they've gamed the system, and I learned how they gamed the system. The Department of Labor put into effect a new rule that will require all investing advisors who advise on retirement plans to act as a fiduciary to act in the client's best interest. So now the buzzword is, if you listen to all the other money radio shows now, and you talk to all these people who before were just commission salespeople, suddenly they all say they're fiduciaries now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's so interesting to hear them say that. But remember, words and reality can differ greatly. All you have to do is, and I'm not naming any names politically, just pay attention to politics, and you'll see that the words and the reality differ greatly. Sometimes people actually lie, and they get away with it. Well, just the same thing in this industry. People will lie to you, they will say they're your fiduciary, and then they will sell you an indexed annuity, which, my gosh, is one of the most deplorable products, in my opinion, that was ever created. So, here's what I want you to do. I decided I needed to make the advisor interview form even easier to use.
Oh, okay.
So I condensed it down a little bit more. It is now just a one-page document called the investment advisor interview review form. It is available. The new shorter version is available as a printable PDF right now for free. You don't have to put any information in. You don't have to give us your email address. You just take it to your investment advisor and ask them to fill it out. It will spell out for you what their fees are. What are the commissions they're paid? Do they actually swear and attest that all of the stuff they said is true? And finally, at the bottom of the page, there is a fiduciary pledge that says, I promise to always, at all times, act as your fiduciary. And let me tell you, if somebody refuses to fill that out and sign it, they are not working in your best interest.
Well, you mentioned the always word. This is really where most of the problem in the industry lies, is that people are what we call duly registered. They are registered as a registered investment advisor. That means, by law, they're required to put you being the listener, you being the investor, you being the would-be retiree, your interests ahead of their own. That is terrific. The problem lies in that people are registered that way, and then they're also registered as broker-dealers, which, when they, as Don points out, can take the RIA hat off and put the other hat on, bad things can happen. Now, here's how they can still happen with the new fiduciary rule that went into effect June 9th. They're going to give you a pile of documents. And by the way, when you bought a house, did you read every word on all those forms that you had to... Did you sit down and go... No, you didn't.
I swore that I did. Yeah. I did. As a matter of fact, I just bought a new computer and it said, did you read all of the disclosures?
Of course.
And I said, yeah, I read all those.
So you don't. And they're going to give you a pile of documents. And in that pile of documents, to open the account, to transfer the money, all that, there's going to be a document that says the product you're moving into may or may not be in your best interest. Or to the words to that effect, it's gonna be the page that's going to allow them to later say, aha, the vice is with you.
I didn't tell you. I was acting as your fiduciary because you signed this fiduciary exemption. It's called the best interest contract exemption, which its acronym is BICE.
Yeah, that's
like
why I said
vice.
Yeah.
That should tell you something right there. BICE rhymes
like
with
vice. It does indeed.
BICE like vice. And let me tell you, a lot of these guys who sell this product, it's called an equity indexed annuity or an indexed annuity. EIAs, there's a fixed indexed annuity, they also call them, which for some reason sounds better, I guess. These things sound wonderful. The sales pitch is mellifluous. It's beautiful. It sounds so good, but it's not good for you.
We'll tell you more about that, explain a lot about that
throughout the show, because this is one of those products you really, they're sold so hard.
Jackie,
you're next. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Hello, Jackie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're having a ball. Thanks for joining us. How can we help today?
So I've been listening to you guys pretty regularly the last few months, and I just graduated from grad school, starting a new job, and I want to open a Vanguard Roth because it's a starting salary, right? But I have a rollover IRA from an old job that's in Fidelity, and I don't know, should I be moving that into a different, like, umbrella fund somewhere? Should I move that over to Vanguard so I can buy the Total World Fund and that bond fund you guys always talk about? Are there index funds that you can recommend in Fidelity?
How much is in the Fidelity IRA?
Oh, it's like peanuts. It's like $8,000.
Hey, well, wait a minute. $8,000, no peanuts, Jackie. I don't know.
Jackie, personally, I don't see the point in keeping multiple accounts at this level. So you could go with Fidelity, go with an index fund there, or I would be really tempted to just open an account with Vanguard, move the Fidelity over there, and just consolidate everything in one place. And I think that'll make your life a whole lot simpler. Jackie, thanks much for calling. We appreciate it. And Mike, you're up next. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Yes, hi. I am looking at an annuity, and the name of it is Retirement Cornerstone Series B. And there's pros and cons to it, but I am sensing that there may be more cons to it.
Step back before we even get into that product. And how old are you, Mike?
I'm 57.
Okay. And the reason you want to annuitize your money is...
Wait. This is not that kind of annuity, Tom.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to look it up.
So they're asking you to put what kind of money into this annuity?
Well, this is
money that's in a retirement plan?
This is, yeah, yeah, this is a retirement fund. I could do a Washington State TAP annuity.
Yeah.
With the Washington, but the problem with that is your money is gone. I mean, you're guaranteed it for life, 5%, 3% COLA for life.
Mm-hmm.
And if you die before you take out all your funds, which takes 12 years, it goes back to your estate. But the problem is the money is gone. You can never access those funds
right.
under any circumstances.
Well, but now, did they explain to you what this was? That this is a variable annuity. This is an investment
yeah.
wrapped in an insurance wrapper, which is one of the topics I had today. Is one of the things I want to talk about, the fact that you should avoid at almost every cost any kind of insurance wrapper around an annuity, because it adds fees of up to 3% per year.
Okay.
And also, I know yeah. for a fact, I know this Retirement Cornerstone from AXA. Equitable.
Oh, AXA. Okay, I was wondering where it
came from. I know it well. The guy who's selling it to you, or the gal who's selling it to you, will collect a, ready, 7% commission on every dollar you put in.
Wow. Okay.
Doesn't make them bad people, but it makes them, yeah, well, maybe a slight conflict of interest there, too.
Right. That's the key. That's when we talk about this fiduciary rule. That's the conflict of interest.
Yeah.
You can either go with someone who charges you a small fee annually and actually manages your money for you. And bear in mind, the internal expenses on this, depending on the riders you have, can run over 3% per year. That 3% per year drags down your return on those mutual funds in there, which even then aren't that great.
Yeah. Well,
this is an insurance person trying to sell something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, Mike. We really appreciate the call. And before we go back to the phones,
I want to continue.
It's your birthday.
Stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
What is it to you?
Who's over there on his mic?
Your birthday seems to fall on the show day every year for some reason. I think it did last year, too. And the year before. I don't know. Seems like it. So, okay. Because otherwise, I wouldn't be able to tease you this much.
I know. And I really love it all so much. On the AXA annuity, that cornerstone annuity,
I
pulled up
cornerstone.
During the break.
Mm-hmm.
I pulled up the prospectus, the thing that nobody reads. Where do they bury? This is a 436 page prospectus.
Oh yeah, and I read those every time before I invest.
436 pages. Now you might look at the beginning.
No wait. Oh, I'm going to say next when they're selling you one of these, go into your agent and say, I want to go back to page 379. Okay, can we get back through
of the prospectus?
See what they say.
what page? They bury the fees on page 78.
Mm, yeah.
So you got to go through 78 pages to get to the fees. Interesting fees. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The operations fee from the insurance company, between 0.8, depending on the series you get, and 1.1%.
Okay.
So the highest is 1.1.
Right.
Then the administrative charge is
0.35. Of course.
Then the distribution charge, which is, it's the insurance agent calls it mine. The distribution charge is mine because it's their trailer. They get this every year. 0.25. Then you pay the mutual funds, which are actively managed. So they run around 0.9 to 1.
I was going to say 1.
So now what are we at? We're about 3.
I wasn't writing them all down. Yeah, it sounds like 3. Yeah,
we're at about 3.
Yeah, okay.
Then if you want that cool guaranteed benefit, that's 1.1% per year. 4.
You better have some
now.
Really good mutual funds in there.
And the first year surrender charge.
How much?
And remember, the surrender charge is always the amount of the commission. That's where they hide the commission, is in the surrender charge. The surrender charge on their Series B is 7% the first 2 years.
2 years. And how long does it take to go away?
8 years.
Oh,
and
geez.
On the Series CP, it's 8% for 2 years, and it takes 10 years to go away.
You can do the math yourself, folks. I mean, do you think you're going to make much? No, you can't.
How do you make money with that much in fees?
Yeah,
and Kim, you're up next. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Hi, Kim. Thanks for standing by. How can we help you today?
Hey, guys. I don't have any questions, but I have a couple things.
Yeah.
Don, congratulations on another trip around the sun.
Don?
And it's been
a
great fun trip
you.
Around the sun. Thank you.
Okay,
it's been a fun trip.
Right.
And Tom, isn't it just a beautiful day today? I'm standing here looking out over the sound.
You know, and you'll be glad to know that I have my above ground pool in place and it's ready for a
above
dive.
Ground pool. It's a blow up pool.
I'm honest.
It's a blow up pool. He's not going to dive into this pool.
I was thinking about it last night.
It was, you'll have a major concussion. Russian at best.
Maybe that'll help. Who knows?
I'm looking out over the beautiful East River.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Don't dive gorgeous. In that either, by the way.
No. For another reason.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, thank you. Yes, it's a beautiful day, and Don had another, as you said, trip around the sun. But do you have a question for us?
Well, I just wanted to say, Tom, last Thursday, the class was absolutely great. You and Gregory did a wonderful job. I learned a lot, and that's it for the day. I'm going to just sit here and stare out at the water.
Oh, that is so nice of you.
I'm going to take a little walk.
All right, we have to give him a magazine now. Okay, yeah. Thanks so much, Kim. Take care.
That's nice. We did have a great class on Thursday. By the way, I do want to, and thank you for your call and your kind comment. I do want to go back to one point during the program, because it does relate to the class a little bit. Because during the class, we tell you that most of you listening don't own enough small companies or what we call value firms, and that those have provided greater returns over time. But in today's Wall Street Journal, the columnist we like is questioning that a little bit into the future. I think it's worth discussion. So,
well, then we had better discuss it.
Exactly.
If it's worth discussing, which is what we do on this show. So stick around.
Tom and Don are talking real.
Quick break. In addition to our Talking Real Money podcast, we have a few other tools to help you gain a better understanding of the concept of real investing. Of course, there's Real Investing Journal. That's offered in both a free online version and in an inexpensive printed magazine. Explore both those options at realinvestingjournal.com, realinvestingjournal.com. Then we teach classes. We offer most of our live classes in the Seattle area because that's where most of our offices are, but most of you live elsewhere. That's why we're now offering the same classes that Tom and I taught at Retire Meet online right now, free at TalkingRealMoney.com under the video link. Just go to TalkingRealMoney.com and then click on the video link. You'll see them right there. Finally, we also manage the wealth, or the budding wealth, of hundreds of folks like you through our fee-only 100% fiduciary investment advisory firm, Vestory. You'll find our approach is consistent with the message we've been sharing for decades. We always put our clients' needs first. Our fees are among the lowest of any non-robo-advisor, and constant education is one of our core values. Visit Vestory.com for more information on our firm and to take our free no-obligation risk quiz to better understand the level of investment volatility you can tolerate. That's Vestory.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
And maybe this will make you feel better.
I'm in New York. I put my mute on.
Yeah, okay, but I was going to give it, maybe this one will make you feel better, okay? That's
what
Don.
Is that?
I'm
what?
Tom. Happy birthday, oh, happy birthday.
No, I know this one too, yeah.
You know
my
it?
Mother likes to sing, worms and germs
no,
are in the
no,
air.
No, no, misery
everywhere.
Is everywhere. People
oh, you
dying
have a, you
everywhere.
Know a different version.
Happy birthday. Anyway, I learned it in the Boy Scouts because we were a very uplifting bunch.
Yeah, my aunt used to sing folk songs, and she had all these really depressing.
All right, we're letting it go, but I hope it's a great day. You're
people.
Back with your family. I hope it's fun. I'll say that.
I'm on vacation. Yeah. I'm on a working vacation in New York. Yeah. I'm in New York. Tom's in Seattle.
Yeah.
But I have these cameras on my porches at home to watch what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And my house is under invasion.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I keep getting these notices. It's called Arlo, and it's a wireless battery-powered camera. Really cool. You don't have to wire it up, and it's Wi-Fi. And it keeps sending me notices that there's motion on the porches. So I keep going and checking, and I don't see anything, and
uh-oh.
I don't see anything. It's driving me crazy. And then finally, on one of the screens,
uh-huh.
I see it
yeah.
crawling across the lens. A big
insurance salesman?
Wasp. Next
oh,
best
wasp.
Thing.
Okay. I'm kidding, because I have an insurance agent too. Okay. So
do you?
Yeah.
I don't. Mean, I use so. USAA. So I
know,
don't have
and that's
any.
What I should be doing, frankly, but okay.
You should. You could do USAA. You're
twice
eligible.
Over. Yeah. Both sides
jeez,
of the family.
I don't know why you don't I do know. It. John is up next. Welcome to the show.
Hi, John.
Yeah, good afternoon, John. Yeah, good afternoon. How y'all doing?
We're having fun. How can we help you today?
Well, yeah, sounds like you are. Anyway, I have a question about some retirement accounts my wife and I have. Right now, we have four or five of them that are like in the $750,000 range. The question I have is the retirement accounts that we've liquidated in the past, I don't know how they're set up. So this is where I need the help. When we go to get the money out of them, we have to pay between 10% and 20% when we get money out of these things, and I'd like to know if there's a way we can handle these accounts and not have to pay these horrendous dollar amounts if we need money out of them.
Okay, I got to ask a question. Are you sure those are fees, or they might be taxes that are being withheld from those distributions?
Taxes.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
So I was going to say, I've never heard of a fee that large in my entire life.
Yeah. So, I mean, because these are retirement accounts, the government wants to know that you're withholding money that you will owe. Any money that comes out of a, 401k, IRA, that kind of thing, the government requires you to pay regular income tax on.
Now, having said that, there are withdrawal strategies.
Yes, that's true.
That you can use to help you reduce some of that, but that's more of a strategy that has to be done on a one-on-one basis between your tax advisor, your investment advisor, and you to try to figure out the optimal way to withdraw from various asset groups that you have in your portfolio. But to get out of the taxes, there is no loophole that exists anywhere on the planet that will get you out of having to pay the taxes on those qualified
plans.
Well,
there is one. Well, if you're still working and you're putting money into a 401k and you're over 70 and a half, you don't have to take out of that plan. But the other ones,
you don't have to take out, but eventually the taxes must be paid.
There's no way around
unless you die.
Does that answer your question?
Sense?
Yeah, no.
Right.
Sorry to rain on your parade.
Well, I was wondering if either the two of you could recommend, what do I do? Just Google tax advisor and get a name?
Do you have someone with whom you work?
Like an investment
advisor? To do your
advisor?
Taxes? Like,
or financial advisor?
No.
I mean, that's
where's your money
I'd
invested?
Start.
I'm sorry?
Where's your money invested?
Don wants to know where is it held? Is it held at TD Ameritrade? Is it held at Charles Schwab? Is it held at Vanguard? Or is it in American funds? What kind of...
Do you have a stockbroker, an insurance agent?
Sir, I can't answer that information right now because it's not currently available to me.
Okay.
Okay. I would go out and seek out a quality... Because your accounts are big enough that you really need a team. So find yourself a good fee-only investment advisor.
DFAUS.com
and on the right-hand side of the page there's a little button that says get a list of advisors in my area and put in your zip code and then interview some of those advisors to help you manage the money to get it in the right places for the right distributions, and then they can also find someone in their group of recommended professionals who they can, if you need help with taxes, can do that for you too. So do that. Go to DFAUS.com and then click on the Find an Advisor button in your area, okay? Thanks for the call. Phillip's up next. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Oh, hi, Phillip.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we do. How can we help you today?
Well, I've been a sporadic but frequent listener to your radio show over the years, and I know you don't like index annuities. I was wondering if there was something like them that's an alternative without the 3% expense ratio and all the other hidden costs.
There can't be, because what they pretend to offer is impossible. They are professing to be able to give you the returns of the market with none of the risk, but that's a lie. So what those fees are doing is they're going out and they're buying the return of a part of the market, and then you're paying for insurance. So you're never going to get the return of the market. You're always going to get a fraction of that anytime you add a... And all these are basically just hedging. They're adding a hedge, and hedges cost money. Hedges reduce returns. That's why hedge funds do not beat the market. They can't... A true hedge fund cannot beat the market because they are hedging against market losses, and those hedges cost money. So while it is something that all of us crave, every investor on the planet wants the perfect investment that has no downside risk and all of the returns of the market, is absolutely an impossibility, and we will never, ever, ever see such a product. We just won't see it. I wish it existed, Philip. Actually, I don't wish that, because that's just,
it's la-la land.
For big candy mountain. It's impossible, because there has to be risk to make money. There cannot be riskless returns. It is an absolute... We hope you're enjoying one of the more unique podcasts out there, but we want to remind you that there are other tools we offer to help you get educated about what we call real investing. We publish Real Investing Journal both as a free online version and in an inexpensive printed magazine. You can check those out at realinvestingjournal.com.
Then we offer classes, most of which are in the Seattle area, but now we've got a couple of the classes that we taught at Retire Meet online for free at TalkingRealMoney.com under the video link. Just go to TalkingRealMoney.com, click on the video link. And finally, we rarely mention it, but we also manage wealth for hundreds of folks and well over a third of $1 million through our fee-only 100% fiduciary investment advisory firm, Vestory. We manage money just as we talk about it. We always put our clients first, our fees are low, and we educate you on a regular basis. Go to Vestory.com to learn more, and you can take our free no-obligation risk quiz to understand the level of investment volatility you can tolerate. That's Vestory.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.
Reality radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
Okay, that's it.
Live
no more
from New York and Seattle. What?
No
what
more,
did I do wrong?
No more birthday jokes. No more birthday singing.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk anymore.
I refuse. I'm going to go on record right here. I refuse to use for my gain my co-host's advancing age and tremendous amount of experience to my advantage on this show. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to.
You
I'm
know, that is there, the so. Only upside
exactly.
to continuing really to move around the sun on an
As
annual basis.
As someone mentioned earlier. Another
is that added experience. And you know, that's a good topic for a show like this,
mm-hmm.
because we talk about money, and money managing money properly is figuring out how to do it right takes time. It's not something, as a matter of fact, when we talk about these indexed annuities and these variable annuity products sold by folks who have insurance licenses, they're in a different category. They're not stockbrokers, they're not registered investment advisors. They're a third hat in that triple registration crown or whatever it's called. And most of these people are young.
Oh, yeah.
They're in their 20s or 30s. Well, they are selling. You know, I should, it's maybe it's slightly unfair to call them crooked, but they're not well informed.
Well, no. Yeah. Here's the thing to consider, by the way. Number one, I would not buy a product that had that took 500 pages to explain it. I wouldn't. I just, no. I think that's a financial product, okay? Because you could, anyway, that's number one.
Well, now, hold
that's
on. While you're
crazy.
Mentioning that, In our business, in the registered investment advisory business, we have to hand our clients a thing called a form ADV.
Yep.
Our form, it's our disclosure document. Our form ADV Part 2 is 8 pages long in 12-point font, which is a big honking font.
No references to Don's birthday, please, along those lines. But here's the other thing, okay?
I know why we're reading glasses.
I know, okay.
I
yes,
know,
me too.
I
but
know.
Here's the other thing to think of, because you mentioned brokers, insurance, they're not bad people. But here's, you mentioned the fact that they're young.
Yeah.
Think about the process, and you went through this, but I remember the first time our friend Paul Merriman told me about when he became a broker and they sent him to New York. He thought mm-hmm. he was going there to learn about how markets worked and how to invest.
So did I.
It had nothing to do with that. Not one. What did they train you on?
I was shocked. Okay, now I was in the first Dean Witter training class that did not go to New York.
Yeah.
Because there were 16 of us in our class, because we were manning the Sears Financial Network. That's when that started.
Old Sears.
And yeah, socks and stocks. We went to Denver. They brought New York to us, mm-hmm. and they rented a hotel and a part of a chunk of a, and we had all our training classes there. And I honestly thought when I was going into this that I was going to learn the mechanics and the theories and the meat of how investing works.
And what did
Instead,
they teach you?
They cut us a cram course to pass our Series 7.
Of course.
Which had all the options and stuff in that. Then we spent every single day in sales training.
Yeah, how to convince
in
people
how
of things.
To cold yep. call, how to yep. convince people to do things,
mm-hmm.
how to sway opinions, and how to, by the way, one of the classes, I don't believe this was the name, but it was basically about how to obfuscate, how to throw up smoke screens.
And so when you call the show or you come and see us and you say, my financial advisor is a nice person,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to say they pretty much have to be, because if you're a nasty, rude, awful person, you don't sell very well.
No, actually, they do such incredible. I took 3 different personality tests before I got
Did
hired.
Did you pass any of them?
Surprisingly, I passed them all.
I'm kidding.
Because given the fact that, you know, my other credentials were kind of iffy.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It was the personality and the sales test that mm-hmm. got me the job. You had to do a one-on-one sales test with somebody pretending to be a client just to get an interview. This was way before even getting a job.
I mean, that should tell you
something.
So they're
nice. They're wonderful human beings. But they don't know. I was 27 years old. I did not know what I didn't know. That's the problem. With age comes wisdom.
Tom and Don are talking real.
Quick break. In addition to our Talking Real Money podcast, we have a few other tools to help you gain a better understanding of the concept of real investing. Of course, there's Real Investing Journal. That's offered in both a free online version and in an inexpensive printed magazine. Explore both those options at realinvestingjournal.com, realinvestingjournal.com. Then we teach classes. We offer most of our live classes in the Seattle area because that's where most of our offices are, but most of you live elsewhere. That's why we're now offering the same classes that Tom and I taught at Retire Meet online right now, free at TalkingRealMoney.com under the video link. Just go to TalkingRealMoney.com and then click on the video link. You'll see them right there. Finally, we also manage the wealth or the budding wealth of hundreds of folks like you through our fee-only 100% fiduciary investment advisory firm, Vestory. You'll find our approach is consistent with the message we've been sharing for decades. We always put our clients' needs first. Our fees are among the lowest of any non-robo-advisor, and constant education is one of our core values. Visit Vestory.com for more information on our firm and to take our free no-obligation risk quiz to better understand the level of investment volatility you can tolerate. That's Vestory.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
Yes, it's my birthday, and I keep getting reminded by my emails. You know, hey, you get these emails that say, hey, it's your birthday. Here's a gift for you, right? Starbucks gives you a good thing. It's like, come in, we'll give you a free drink or a sandwich. Okay, that's good. It's free.
Yeah.
Southwest Airlines sent me a thing. They sent me an interactive video ad I could watch.
Wow. Well, you know, because at your age, you don't get out much. I mean, that's good for them to show you stuff like that.
I try to avoid them on television. I pay extra for Hulu and,
the most annoying one now, actually, is at the gas station.
Oh, you get a commercial at the pump.
Oh, my. Thank you for watching. No, I am not. Anyway, so.
I can't wait for the new Mac operating system and Safari that will shut all those that play automatically off. It won't let them play.
It's rude.
I'm excited. Yeah. Peggy, you're up next. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Hi, Peggy. Thank you for your patience. How can we help you?
Well, I have a question for you about retirement. I'm going to retire in September. I'm a federal employee. I'm under the old system, so I'll have a decent annuity. But my question is on TSP. So do I leave it where it's at, where I can only take out a little bit of money at one time, or do I move it someplace else? So
let me ask you a question before I – the TSP plan is a very good retirement plan, by the way. But so is the income you're going to need from the TSP going to be an important part of your providing for yourself after you stop working?
No, it's extra for me.
Yeah.
It's going to be my play money.
Yeah. So here's the way – the TSP has incredibly low cost. The TSP has pretty good diversification. The TSP has a bond fund that Don and I can't access. It has some pretty amazing advantages. So I probably would leave it there. I wouldn't roll that out. I mean, I don't see, because here's the thing. Once you roll that out, you're in the Wild West, right? I mean, everybody's going to want that money. Everybody's got an idea. Everybody's got an annuity. Everybody's got all these products. And
them are bad.
Yeah. They're
90%+ of the ideas people are going to give you for rolling that money over are going to be terrible ideas. Terrible for you, good for them.
Okay.
So leave
it alone.
I'll
leave it where it's at.
And then when you want money, draw a little bit out.
Yeah,
have fun.
They make it pretty easy to do that, I believe. And again, if you didn't want much volatility, you could have most of it in the, I always forget, is it the G fund.
C fund is the S&P 500, the S fund.
That's right.
There's some great funds in there, and you get terrific diversification. And then what diversification they don't have, you can always pick up with other investments outside of it. But it's so cheap.
Okay. And
so
enjoy your retirement, just a couple months away. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Good for you.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Bye.
Thank you for your call. Yeah, I mean, that's a really good plan among plans.
I'm never going to retire. By the way, I'm not. I'm going to be director.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be director of education emeritus, I decided, even after I retire, okay? Because I have to do the show. I will go insane if I don't do the show.
I'd be more worried worried about those around you actually going insane. That's what they say at my house. They're like,
if I keep doing the show,
you're not going to be sitting at home. No, you'll be somewhere
no,
else.
No, it's like I'm at my mom's in New York, and my stepdad is a doctor in New York City. He's a radiologist. He's 84 years old.
It's amazing.
And he goes to work 4 days a week. And I think it was my choice. I think it's because my mother says, no, you cannot stay around here.
Yeah.
You need to go somewhere, and he doesn't have any place else to go.
So he goes to
work. 4 days a week, he wanders the streets until he bumps into his office.
He's engaged.
Hey, he's engaged. Yeah. Philip, you're up next. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Philip, how are you?
Hi. I was at a seminar recently offered by an organization called AFEA. I think it's American Financial Education Alliance.
AFEA.
Oh, wait. I think I know them. They're the ones who do the college shows, Tom. You know the college classes?
Ah, yes. AFEA. They offer insurance products of some kind, annuities, I believe.
Well, a lot of the guys, it just depends on who's the member, yeah.
The man who gave the presentation said something that seemed to be a bit of a contradiction, so I just wanted to ask your opinion.
Go ahead.
He seemed to like index annuities, so when I asked him about index mutual funds, he said he hated them, and I asked him why, and he said they have lots of hidden expenses. So
that's a good one. We hear a lot, but that one I've never heard.
We hear that a lot.
We hear a lot of things. That one I've never heard.
Oh, my God. Philip, that is
outrageous.
Let me just say, I would look this man in the face and go, you are a bald-faced liar. You're an absolute liar. Let me give you an example. The Vanguard Index 500 Fund. You've heard of that, right? The S&P 500?
Yeah,
there are no hidden expenses. Zero hidden expenses.
No commission, so that one goes
out the window. No commissions. And what are the fees now? 0.15, I'm pretty sure.
So that's how much you pay for the operation of the mutual fund every year. So did you get?
And there are no other expenses. None.
The turnover is very low.
I was a little puzzled by what he said because I thought an index annuity was vaguely based on an index fund.
No, it's a total misnomer.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, the Vanguard 500 Index Admiral Fund, which only requires a $10,000 minimum.
How much?
The expenses are 0.04% per year. 0.04%. The fees on most of the indexed annuities whose prospectuses I have personally read, and boy, that is a chore, run about 3% per year, or roughly, what would that be, about 300 times?
I'm no mathematician, but it's a lot more.
This guy's a liar. This guy is a horrible seller of a product. He is trying to convince you through a blatant lie. There is no such thing as wealth without risk.
I would love to get what he just said on tape from somebody saying, no, I don't use index funds because of the hidden expenses.
Too.
What are the hidden expenses?
These AFEA courses that they do at these colleges, they're part of these. They're not really college courses. They're part of a continuing adult education program. Philip, thanks for being a part of Talking Real Money.
The college might not be sponsoring it, but in a way, the fact that it's held there and they got their name on it, this is the struggle I have. People think, I learned that at Bellevue College. I know, but I'm saying in a general sense. And I've seen them at the UW-Bothell, for example, other places, and people believe when they read that it has the endorsement, if you will, of the school. These are not good courses. These are not based on science. And so this comes up from time to time, Don, because we do classes called the Science of Retirement Investing. People say, well, what do you mean by science? Well, number one, it's information built on academic research, okay? This isn't somebody who came up with a product designed to get you all hot and bothered and what Philip wanted originally, and that is make money with no risk, because that's what we all want. It doesn't exist. Number two, it is repeatable that we've been able to see. You've been able to invest this way and it's worked for a long period of time. And that brings me to a point from the Wall Street Journal today, because Jason Zweig, who's really one of the columnists I think you should read, he's in there every Saturday, he wrote a piece about how many fewer small companies there are in the United States today than there were back in 1997. I think it's about half of the number. It's a way smaller number. And as you know, in our classes and in other places, we've said you really should be invested in small and value firms. Those have provided greater returns pretty consistently over time than large and growth firms. You know the large and growth firms, the Microsofts, the Amazons, the Apples, etc. You don't generally know the smaller and the value firms. So when you read that, how should you respond to that? I mean, my response, Don, is, well, this is a short period of time. time is it going to continue? Number two, it makes me want to invest globally in all kinds of companies because we don't know which one's going to be best in a long period of time. That's how I feel about it. So I don't want to get too alarmist by the fact that there are fewer small companies to invest in today than there were 20 years ago.
Yeah, and that's the point I take away from it is that overseas there are still many, actually there are more small companies overseas than in the U.S., so you have better opportunity there. The other thing is that a lot of these small companies are foregoing a public offering. They are going through private equity.
Yep.
And one of these days, those private equity funds are going to want to cash in on
money.
The stuff that
yep.
they're going to want their money, and they're going to take these companies public. So you got to keep investing to get those stocks when they come available down the road. And Tom, I found the class at Renton Technical College, and they're selling it as an actual course.
This is what they do.
And
we've seen this before. We've talked about this.
They have a syllabus. They've got this whole thing. Join us at Renton Technical College for the changing world of retirement planning, a classroom instruction for adults aged 50 to 70. Guys, you're going to get sold an indexed annuity if you go to this thing.
We've had people on the show that have come on and talked about, we had the guy, remember, it said bad things about us, and then remember we brought it to his attention.
Then,
he said, I didn't really mean that. Remember?
Yeah. Yeah, no. And let me tell you, any of you idiots who teach these classes,
oh goodness.
Tell me I'm wrong. Please call me 877-397-5666. Call me any Saturday, or you can go to the website, you get my phone number, call me during the week and tell me why I am wrong that you're a bald-faced liar. Tell me why I am wrong that you are pitching people on a product that you claim.
Here's one I'd like. Tell me how index mutual funds have hidden expenses.
Show them to me. Absolutely ridiculous. Okay, Neil, you're up next. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for taking my call, Tom and Don. I'm a periodic listener to your show over the years, and I've always enjoyed it, and I'm finally calling in for the first time. I've got a question about index funds versus managed funds, and I obviously know your take on this subject, but I'd like to get into it a little bit deeper. Over the years, I have a quite diverse portfolio, everything from oil, commercial, lots of REITs, lots of equities, lots of mutual funds, et cetera, et cetera. Some are managed by myself, some are index funds, some are professionally managed. What I certainly saw during the recession, I have a big chunk with Fidelity that is professionally managed. My total pullback after the recession, I was down about 22%, which I considered that a major home run compared to what the market
Well, what is your stock to bond ratio?
Back then, I don't remember. It fluctuates so much with my various investments that I wouldn't know off the top of my head.
Okay, but what I'm getting from you is that, I mean, because this does come up, is active managers then saved you somehow in the downturn where index funds would not? Is that where we're headed here?
That is correct. If I had index funds in the recession era, that I was down what the indexes were.
Mm-hmm.
And that was way, way higher than my 22% that I lost.
Here's the struggle with your suggestion.
Conclusion.
Yeah,
well, with the
thank
conclusion.
You. There's no data to back it up. Now, I mean, it may be you were in the correct funds that somehow, you know, picked the right sector or picked the right company. In general,
sure.
In general, active funds, fund managers are not, that's not their job, is to move in and out of markets depending on what's going on today. They are not moving into cash generally. They are not, you know, they might be moving companies, but they're not moving generally sector to sector. So, and the data shows that there was no active mutual fund manager who gave you greater protection, if you will, during the downturn.
Let me give you a great example. I'm not in this for home runs or
triples or even doubles. I just want consistent growth, and I'd much rather be protected from the big downturns, which, of course, the big downturns, we haven't had one for a while, but they're going to come back again.
Of course.
I'd much rather be protected. Let me share with you a fact.
This is an absolute numeric fact. If you had owned the kind of portfolio that we suggest, which is based on indexes, it's not an actual index portfolio. Basically, it's it's owning the entire global market with an overemphasis on small and value. If you had owned that entire global equity portfolio along with 40% in U.S. Treasury, short intermediate Treasury securities from January 1st, 2007 through the end of 2008, through December 31st, 2008,
so 2 years,
which was the bad year. No, that's that's the worst of it. You would have lost 20%.
Okay, so
basically
that's real
the same number.
Fidelity did for me then.
Yeah, and if you held in there until February of 2008 when the market recovered.
2009?
Not 2009, the beginning of 2009. You ended up with a loss of, it was like 10%. So, if you're diversified properly, and that's why it's so hard to compare these various managed portfolios to indexes, because you have to get into the actual numbers and make sure you're comparing apples to true apples. And every time we compare actively managed apples to passively managed apples, we end up with better numbers passive.
Don and Don are talking real money.
Education is important. That's why I invite you to my class, The Science of Retirement Investing, in the evening of the 13th of July in Tacoma. We don't get south enough, so we're going to do it this time. You can register for that right now at TalkingRealMoney.com. TalkingRealMoney.com. Talk about constructing a portfolio. We talk about retirement income, how to get the most out of Social Security. It's fun. It's educational. And best of all, it's relatively inexpensive, and we're not selling anything. Go to TalkingRealMoney.com. TalkingRealMoney.com.
We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for educational and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately, consistently predict the future. So, past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Vestry, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosure.